A new analysis of Beethoven's hair provides clues about the famous composer's many health problems and maybe his hearing loss. Hi there, everyone. I'm Jeff, and this is Plain English, where we help you upgrade your English with current events and trending topics. Listen here, and you'll learn new words, new concepts in English, and you'll also get your mind thinking in English, too. Coming up today, Beethoven, the famous composer, suffered from hearing loss starting in his 20s. Now, a new study of his hair samples sheds light on one reason he might have lost his hearing. Wait until you hear the reason. In the second half of the lesson, I'll show you how to use the English expression suffer from, and if you think you know what that means from the word suffer, just listen. There are some important differences. The audio is only the beginning. There's a lot more to Plain English than just the audio. Today's full lesson set is available online at plainenglish.com/683. When you get there, you'll see the lessons are on two different pages on the website. The story is on one page, the expression is on the other page. Click around and you'll see the transcripts, quizzes, exercises, and other features. plainenglish.com/683. Before we dive into today's story, you've heard me mention some of the great ways our Plus membership can help you upgrade your English, and you might be curious about what that looks like. We've recently unlocked some free samples so that you can try out the premium features for yourself. Even if you don't join, you'll still learn something from the sample lessons. Sound good? Look for the link that says free samples at the top of plainenglish.com. I've also put a direct link to the samples at the bottom of the show notes of this episode. Now, we're ready to start today's story. Ludwig von Beethoven was not a healthy man. He suffered from liver disease and had two bouts of jaundice, a condition that turns your skin yellow. He complained of gastrointestinal issues throughout his life. The most tragic thing for the gifted composer, though, was his deafness. In his 20s, he started losing his hearing. When he was just 28, he stopped going to social functions, embarrassed by his inability to follow conversations. He worried what people would say about him. The famous musical composer, unable to hear? By age 32, he had lost the ability to hear a flute. His hearing loss progressed until he was completely deaf. When he debuted his Ninth Symphony, his last and most famous symphony, he couldn't hear the applause of the crowd behind him. The musicians had to tell him to turn around to see the crowd clapping. Beethoven died young. He was just 56. The latest studies suggest that he died of liver disease, brought on by a hepatitis infection, his heavy drinking, and genetic factors. His wish, as he died, was that scientists would be able to study his body to prevent others from suffering as he had suffered. 19th century medicine had not been good to Beethoven. At one point, he had been taking 75 medications. Doctors didn't know what had caused his deafness. The composer complained, "Doctors know little. One tires of them. Doctors know a lot more now. Using a lock of Beethoven's hair, scientists were able to sequence the famous composer's genes. They also performed a detailed analysis on the hair samples. Their analysis found that he had genetic risk factors for liver disease and that he had a hepatitis infection when he died. That helps explain the conditions of his death, but not of his deafness. A new study on two different samples of Beethoven's hair sheds light on possible causes of his deafness. The new hair samples contained elevated levels of lead, arsenic, and mercury. A normal sample of human hair contains about 4 micrograms of lead per gram of hair. 4. One of Beethoven's locks had 258 micrograms per gram of hair. Another had 380 micrograms. In other words, they were 64 and 95 times higher than normal. A person with that level of lead today would be immediately treated for lead poisoning. Some of the scientists involved in the study had never seen lead levels that high. How could Beethoven have gotten so much lead in his system? Lead is a naturally occurring element, but it's dangerous to humans. It's not in any type of food product today, but that hasn't always been so. In the 1800s, lead could be found in a lot of places, in ointments, in medicines, and in wine. Remember the 75 medications Beethoven was on at one time? It's likely that some of those contained lead. Beethoven was also using ointments, also probably with lead in them. And Beethoven was a big wine drinker. He drank a bottle a day, sometimes more. And cheap wine in Vienna at that time was often made with lead acetate, a sweetener and preservative. Beethoven's hair also had high levels of arsenic and mercury. He ate a lot of seafood, and a lot of fish in Vienna came from the Danube River, which was also an industrial dumping ground. The two hair samples that scientists tested were taken at the end of Beethoven's life, so it's not clear when he developed such high levels of lead. But scientists say that the high levels of lead probably exacerbated Beethoven's medical problems. Gastrointestinal issues, muscle cramps, kidney disease, and yes, hearing loss are all possible symptoms of lead poisoning and all ailments that Beethoven suffered from. Now, if you were wondering, as I was, how and why so much of Beethoven's hair is available for testing now 200 years after his death, well, it was common at the time to keep locks of hair from friends, family, and famous people. And it was common for people to give locks of their own hair to others. So these have been saved, cherished, passed down over the years, and also sold at auction. There are enough samples of Beethoven's hair floating around to sequence his DNA and to send multiple samples to specialized labs for heavy metal testing. By the way, if you're interested in this topic, lesson 320 was about the 250th anniversary of Beethoven's birth. plainenglish.com/320 for that one. Today, you're going to learn the English expression suffer from. It's a little different from simply the word suffer. Suffer is a verb. It means to experience pain, distress, or hardship. People suffer in a war. People suffer in a pandemic. People suffer in a famine. The pain, the distress, the hardship can be a general condition or something that's unsaid. We don't need to say why people experience pain and hardship in a famine. We know why. We don't need to say why or how exactly people suffer in a war. We know why. It's unsaid. Suffer from is similar but a little different. With suffer from, you're talking about experiencing a specific negative condition. And you always say the negative condition after suffer from. Beethoven suffered from hearing loss. He had a specific negative condition, hearing loss, and he experienced pain or distress from it. He suffered from hearing loss. He also suffered from liver disease. He had these specific negative conditions. We say suffer from plus the condition. Now, I want to pause here and tell you another difference between suffer and suffer from. When you simply say suffer, you're implying that the pain or hardship is intense and high, almost tragic, like what happens in a famine or a war. When you say suffer from, you might be implying intense pain or hardship, but not necessarily. You can use suffer from with things that are not as intense. It's June, springtime in the Northern Hemisphere. Flowers are blooming. That's great news for a lot of us. But some people suffer from seasonal allergies. They experience congestion, sneezing, itchy eyes. These are seasonal allergies. Many people suffer from seasonal allergies. This is a great example of some kind of pain, some kind of distress caused by a specific condition, allergies. But this isn't true suffering. It's no fun having seasonal allergies, but it's not like living in a war. But this is a case where you can use suffer from plus the condition. There's pain, there's hardship, even if it doesn't rise to the level of general suffering. Suffer from is often used with medical conditions. She suffers from anxiety. He suffers from diabetes. It's not used with an injury. He suffers from a broken leg? No. Only use this with a condition. He suffers from chronic back pain. Yes, you can say that. You can also use it with non-medical conditions. Now, this is much less common, but I'll give you a few examples. Mexico is suffering from a drought now. Here in the city, aquifers and water levels are very low. Avocados are a big crop in Mexico, but avocado trees need a lot of water. Avocado farmers are suffering from this drought too, with lower yields. The opposite is true in parts of Brazil. The far south of Brazil is suffering from extreme flooding. This is pain, this is hardship that comes from a specific thing, extreme flooding. Whole neighborhoods are flooded. People are being rescued on boats. Towns may be relocated to higher ground. A family or a business can suffer from financial hardship. A business can suffer from a season of low sales. A family can suffer from financial hardship after a large medical expense or a job loss. This is a tricky one. Sometimes things in English are not as easy as we would like them to be. Now, I tried my best to show you the difference between suffer and suffer from, but now it's your turn to actually use it, to think of examples from your own life and experiences. So on the transcript page, find the tab called Your Turn and write your own sentence. I'll then read it and give you some feedback. This is great because I can never predict how you will use suffer from until I read your examples. And you might not know, not for sure, if you're using it right. So if you write your examples on the website, then I'll give you the feedback you need. Make all your mistakes with us, and then you'll crush it in the real world. That's what I say. That's all at plainenglish.com/683. Find the expression transcript page and then click on the tab called Your Turn. That's all for us this Thursday. We'll be back next week with a new topic. See you then. You've reached the end of the audio lesson. But there's a lot more to the Plain English experience on the website plainenglish.com. A lot of plainenglish.com is free, but the best tools to help you upgrade your English are part of the Starter and Plus memberships. And if you've ever been curious about what those look like, well, I have good news for you. We've unlocked some free sample lessons that let you try out the Starter and Plus features for yourself. There are two easy ways to find the free samples. First, at plainenglish.com, there's a new link at the top of the page that says Free Samples. I've also put a link in the show notes for this episode. In the sample lessons, you can do the exercises, listen to the fast audio, take one of our toolkit workshops, practice your writing, and more. So try it out today. Click the link in the show notes of this episode or find the link that says Free Samples at the top of plainenglish.com.